Okay, we are up to Perek Dalet Mishnah Zion and Maseches Beitza. And so continuing in some of the themes that we've been discussing thus far, the way that Perek Dalet ends off is with a Mishnah about lighting fire itself. Can one light a fire on Shabbos or not? So the Mishnah says, Mishnah Zion, Ein Motzin Esa Or, a person can't make a fire, can't produce a fire in Yantif from wood. How would you do it from wood? Well, obviously, we know wood from those of us who were in the Boy Scouts. You rub two pieces of wood together and you make a fire, so that's not allowed, but you can't produce a fire from stones. Same thing by rubbing the stones together. You can't create it from like earth, from like the ground, from the dirt. The way you do that evidently is like you dig like into some hard earth and you make sparks from that. And a person can't make a fire from water. So that sounds a little antithetical. How would you make a fire from water? Well, it seems like the way you make a fire from water is that you use the glass. Like imagine like it's in a cup of glass or whatever, a cup of water, a glass cup of water. So you use that cup as like a lens to focus the sun to set something on fire. So with all these things, a person cannot make a fire in Yantif. Why? Because even if you're going to do it to prepare food, it's going to create something entirely new, and we don't want to do that because it doesn't look good. So a person cannot make a fire in Yantif. A person can only use a fire in Yantif. And that's when, but even so in other words, even to prepare food, a person cannot create, a fire. Okay. Ve'in melabnin es hara'afim litzlos behen. And your person can't heat up new like tiles made of like cheres, made of earthenware. A person can't heat up these tiles in order to roast food on them. You say, I don't understand. I thought I'm allowed to do anything to cook food. No, this also is not allowed. You can't heat up these tiles in order to roast the food, because when you heat up a tile for the first time, it's like becomes like stronger. It becomes like fully like becomes like a full finished tile now, because it's like strengthened through this heat, and therefore it's like completing the work. So therefore we don't allow that. The Oda Ma Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Eliezer also says, Omid Adam ala mukta erev Shabbos bashvias. A person can stand next to fruits that are mukta on Friday during the Shemitah year. So this is a little complicated, so stay with me here. So the fruits are mukta because they were put out to dry. And if the fruits were finished drying, then they wouldn't be mukta because everyone would enjoy them. And if they weren't drying, and if they were just regular fruits, that's how you eat them, then seemingly they wouldn't be mukta either. The case over here is specifically when a person put out fruits to dry, and it was like at the halfway mark. Some people eat them at this halfway mark, and some people don't eat them at this halfway mark. So they're therefore going to be the halfway mark of drying. So therefore, they're going to be considered mukta unless you specifically say, no, I like them like this, and therefore they're not mukta. So they're mukta from that end. In terms of the Shemitah year, why is it necessary to state the Shemitah year? Well, because we're dealing with the case where Trumos and Maasros were not taken from the fruits, and it happens to be that in the Shemitah year, a person is not required to take Trumos and Maasros. So says Rabbi Eliezer again as follows, that Omeid Adam Al HaMukta Erev Shabbos Bashvias, a person is allowed to stand next to their fruits that are Mukta. Again, the halfway mark between drying and not dried. So the fruits are Mukta, and he can stand next to them on Friday and say about these Mukta fruits, again, during the Shemitah year, because he doesn't have to take Trumos and Maasros. The Omer Mikan ani ochel machar, and he can stand next to them and say, I will eat from here tomorrow. And basically by saying that he's going to eat from these fruits, even though he doesn't point out which ones he's going to take, they're not considered mukta anymore, and he's allowed to eat them on Shabbos. He could eat any of them on Shabbos, seemingly. The Chachamim Omer, the Chachamim say, Ad she yirshom v'yomar mikan v'adkan. The Chachamim say that the fruit are going to be mukta until he makes like a mark. He has to say from here until over here, little mark over here, and then on the other end he's going to make another mark. And he says in this specific area that he has to say, I'm going to plan to eat from here to here. Only then is a person allowed to. Only then is it not considered mukta, and then is a person allowed to eat from that stuff, because it's no longer mukta on Shabbos. Now again, so why does it need to be the Shemitah year specifically? Well, because the thought is, since there's no Trumos HaMaasros taken from these fruits that are drying, and the concern is that the person can't take Trumos HaMaasros on Shabbos. So therefore, even if and a person only normally takes Trumos HaMaasros, I believe, after the fruits usually dry. So therefore, you have a bit of a conundrum here. So you need to find a specific time where Trumos HaMaasros are already not necessary, and therefore a person would be required, not required to do that, and therefore a person will only have an issue of muksa, and if he gets around the issue of muksa, then you're good to go. Seemingly though, if he had already taken the Trumos HaMaasros from the fruits before they started drying, then seemingly the case would be the same as well, that a person is allowed to just do this thing with them, set them aside. Again, either according to Rabbi Eliezer, he says you just need to stand there and say, I'm going to eat from these, or according to Chama, it says I'm going to eat from here to here. That's what you could do to get out of this issue of muksa, and again, that would apply any year as long as Trumos HaMaasros were already taken. But had only during the Shemitah year if Trumas and Maasros were not taken yet, as was, I believe, normally done when it came to dry fruits. It was taken after the fruits were dried. Okay, that is the end of Perek Dalet, end of Mishnah Zion. We begin now Perek Hey, Perek Hey, Mishnah Aleph. So Perek Hey, Mishnah Aleph begins with a fascinating halacha of what we call tircha shelo v'tzorich, that a person is not allowed to do on Shabbos and Yontif an unnecessary tircha that you don't need it for Shabbos or Yontif. So, however, the Chazal were makel when it came to cases of hefsed merubah. If there was like a big hefsed, then in theory there were cases where even Chazal would say, no, it's allowed because there's no malacha involved, it's just a tircha, so we're going to let you do it if it's like really, really a big loss. So let's see what the Mishnah has to say again. Perek Hey Mishnah Aleph, Mashilin Peros Derech Aruba B'Yomtov. A person can throw their produce if you have produce that is on the roof. Seemingly, it was left there to dry and it's already dried out. So, if you have this produce on a roof, you can throw it through a skylight on Yatif in order to protect this from the rain that's going to fall. So you don't have a loss, you're allowed to do this. So it requires some effort to throw it through the window, but it's mutter because of the hefset, and it's not that much tircha. About Loba Shabbos, but you can't do this on Shabbos, you can't throw it through the skylight on Shabbos, because even this is too much effort. On Shabbos, Mechasim Peros Bekilim Mipnei Hadelf. But what can you do on Shabbos? So you can cover the produce with cloths to protect it from rainwater that's dripping from a roof, you could do that. V'chein Kadei Yayin V'chadei Shemen, you can also cover up pitchers of wine and pitchers of oil to protect them from the dripping of the rainwater. And you can even put a vessel under dripping water to catch the water so that it will not damage the house if you have like a leaking roof or something like that. B'Shabbos. And all these things, again, are going to be permissible on Shabbos in order to prevent financial loss, because these things don't imply that much effort and therefore they would be permissible. But okay, that brings us to the end of Mishnah Aleph. God willing, next time we'll continue with Mishnah Beis, but for now, we'll stop right here.